Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
First, I want to thank Sister Betty for coming from the conference here to be a part of this present ministry day. In fact, every time we have something going here involving present ministry, Sister Betty has shown up. She's been a supporter, not only of present ministry, but of me as well. And I would like to thank you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, who have come today, showing that you not only have an interest in present ministry, but that you love the Lord, and that's why you're here today. To my pastor in his absence and to his wife and family, I thank him because he, next to Christ, is the head of this church. And without his approval, this would not have happened. Let me see. Get these notes and things together so I can leave them alone. Oh, well, I don't need that anyway. You know, I look around, and as I look around in the church, I was hoping and praying we would have more children here today. My message is geared toward the children as well as the adults, but my concern primarily is for the children. My son, you know, I'm glad to say, graduated from BAA, and he's now at PUC. And you don't know how hard it's been, but the Lord provides a way. Everything is not easy. Everything is not sweet, but the end is sweet. I wish he could be here today to hear me talk about him. I wish all the children were here today to hear me talk about them, and as well as you and I, the adults that are here. What I say about myself, as well about each and every one of you. You may not like it, but the Lord loves it. My subject today will be taken from St. Luke. Chapter 15. If you have your Bibles, please open to St. Luke. It's the parable of the prodigal son. Most of you know the story. And I just want to say at the outset that I'm going home. That's my intention. I don't know about your intentions, but my intentions is to go home. Not on 55th in California, not on 42nd and Baker Street, not even at my own home address. I'm going home, and that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about a young man who left home. This man in the Bible is called the prodigal son. You know, the Jews had a law that when the child became of age, I think that age was 12, that the father divided his substance among them. The son or the sons, because they were considered to be grown adults. Maybe you can relate to this here. My son turned 17, and when I would tell him to do something, the first thing he would tell me, "I'm grown." And that used to get under my coat. What do you mean you grown? You don't even buy one cup of coffee. You don't buy one thing of milk. You don't buy a pancake. But you say you grown. When you become grown, you're on your own. I pay the bills. I've got to put you in a hospital and pay the bills. Anything you do, an adult has to do it for you. I know you have children in here right now have said at one time or another, Mommy or Dad, I'm grown. I ain't got to do that. But the law says until you're 18, you're not grown legally. But we know that until you're able to take care of yourself, until you're able to do what God says do, you'll never be grown. So here we have this prodigal son. Trying to get this nervousness out of me so I can really talk. Until we have this prodigal son realizing that he wasn't grown. He stayed with his father and his brother and everybody that lived around him. He knew the law. He knew the Jewish law. He knew that when he became 12, he was out of here. He knew that he would have the freedom to do what he always desired to do. And one of the things that he desired to do was wait for his inheritance. For he said to himself, when I get where I got coming, I'm leaving here. I've got to see what's down the road. I've got to see what's beyond the mountains. I've got to travel. I've got to live the life I've always wanted to live. And true enough, the father being who he is, the father, and can't do anything but what is right towards his children, and all of us are his children. He called the sons in and he said, look, you're of age now. I'm going to divide my substance to you so that you'll have the freedom to do what you want to do, go where you want to go. This is your day. And we know the story. The story here says that he divided his substance among them. And the elder son, or the younger son, is always the younger one who's impulsive, who wants to do things that the older brother wouldn't do or an adult would do. He says, give me mine. Legally, it's mine anyway. Using my own vernacular, my own way of looking at it. And the father gave him what came to him. And it says, after a few days, after a few months, the son says, see ya. I'm gone. And the story goes that he left and went where? Into a far country. And I'm here to tell you right now that when you're in sin, you're in a far country. When you're in sin, you're far removed from God. And most of us, right now, I accuse you, and I got three pointing back at me, are prodigal sons and daughters of God. Sitting in the church, we're sinners. Yeah, we're filthy as rags. There's nothing holy or righteous about us. We're prodigal sons and daughters of God. But it has a good ending. This son, he left and went into a far country, my Bible says. And if you read down with me as I'm speaking, you'll see that what I'm telling you is in the Word of God. He says he went into a far country and spent his substance with riotous living. I mean, he became wild. He had a good time, as we would say. He visited the taverns, he drank the alcohol, he visited all the beautiful women or what he considered to be beautiful, and he had fun. I'll let your own minds tell you what he meant by having fun, because all of you been there and done that. Let's keep it real. And him being no different, he wasted his substance with riotous living. I mean, he really was clowning. He got drunk, went to the taverns. If they had roller rinks back then, he went roller skating. whatever was pleasing to him, this is what the prodigal son did. I mean, sound like it's talking about me. I don't know about you. I mean, maybe you saints in here, you've never done anything bad. But I'm here to tell you that all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. And this son lost his money. He lost his inheritance. He lost his wealth. And at such a time, he didn't know where he was going to go. He said, well, I bought John a Cadillac over there, and I bought Sue a home. I bought Curly Carlisle the place and things that he has. He said, I'm going to go to him and get me a job, because I know they got money, they got places to live, and I've been good to them. But when he came, what was told to him? He said, I'm sorry, I can't help you. Yeah, you've been good and all that there, but you did that because you was having fun. He said, well, give me a job, please. You know, I need a job. He said, sorry, unemployment line is out. You can't get a job here. Then he said, well, I know what I'm going to do. They think they're slick. I'm going to be a citizen of this country. I'm going to join myself on and let them know that I love them. I want to be a part of them. I really want to get in the mix. But he couldn't even become a citizen of the country. Just like we have a lot of Hispanics today can't become citizens of the country. Africans can't become the citizens of this country. So it was with the prodigal son. This hurt him. But one man he went to had a farm. He raised pigs. But this is a Jew boy. This is a boy that was raised and told never to eat hog, never to even touch the flesh of a hog. And he went to the farm. He says, man, I'm hungry. Give me something to eat. And the man said, I tell you what, go on out there in the fields. Enjoy yourself. Eat what you can find out there to eat. How do you think a Jew boy would feel or did feel being told to eat something that he was raised not to eat, not to even touch, try not to even smell it? But he was so sick, so tired, and so weary that he went and he sat down where the hogs were. Said he fain would have eaten the husk that the swine did eat, but he couldn't find any. When you go through life, when things is hard, reality smacks you in the face. When you go through life, you begin to realize and appreciate where you came from. This young man, this prodigal son, while sitting in a pig pen, the word of God says that he came to himself. Mothers and fathers that are here right now who have sons and daughters have left them, I know you've also said the same thing. Lord, I wish she would come to herself. Lord, I wish he would come to himself and know that I have loved them and still love them and come back home. Right now, you have daughters and sons right in here. I won't make a roll call, but you know I'm telling the truth. Things don't change. Things are still the same. It's going to be the same until Christ calls us home. So, the good thing about it, God gives us an out. He gives us a gate that we can crawl through. My book tells me that while he was in the pig pen, sitting there thinking that something happened. What happened to him? Anybody know? He came to himself. He understood that his father loves him. He understood that his brother loved him, or so he thought. But he understood that he could go to his father one day while sitting. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to leave here. I'm going to my father. I'm going to let my father know that I have sinned against heaven, against earth, and before you, and I'm not worthy to be called your son. But I got to go home. I'm going home. I don't care. Nothing's going to stop me. And the book tells us, the Bible tells us that he got up and he was running home. And while he was running home to confess to his father already knew that he was coming home. His father also ran and caught him. And when the son fell down to beg and ask for his forgiveness, his father grabbed him and says, "Come on, let's go home. You're my son." He knew that his son was coming home because he knew what he had put into his boy. He knew when he left, he was coming home and was waiting for him. How many in here today are waiting for their children to come home? How many today are waiting for their children to confess their sins and show their love where they have shown anything but anger and hate and misery towards us? That's why we worship Jesus. So that we can learn to do an about face. So that we can learn to love where we hate it. And this is what the prodigal son had to learn. And when he learned it, the father already knew. He looked into his heart, into his soul, into his mind. He says, "Come on home. I've been waiting on you. You know, you left here running. I gave you everything you had to make it, but you didn't have me in your heart. You didn't love me. Christ says today that you can have anything that you want if you love him, if you follow him, if you obey him. This is what we got to do." So the prodigal son said, I don't know. He says, "Come on, son. Come on, go home with me." So he went home, and the father showed that he really loves you. He really loves me. He says, "Come here. No more partying. So right now, bring me the fattest calf and kill it. We're going to have a meal up in here. Not only that, they'll bring the best clothes and the robe and put it on him. And best of all, here, son, put this ring on your finger." You know, when God puts a ring on your finger, back then a ring was a sign that you are the ruler, that you are the head, no more the tail. And that's what he did to the prodigal son. And somewhere down the line, his brother came in. And when his brother came in, he grabbed one of the workers. He says, "What's all the music making? What's going on here? I don't understand this." He said, "Your brother, which was lost, is found, and your dad said, let's make merry. Let's have a good time." He said, "What?" He ran to the father. He's going to admonish the father for the father's actions of receiving this brother. And what was his attitude? He says, "Dad," says, "I don't understand. I've been with you many years. I've worked around the church. I cleaned up. I helped preach. I did anything that you asked me to do. But soon as this, your son, come in, you put on him the best robe. You put the best ring on his finger. You killed the fattest calf for him. You stopped work and everybody's getting ready to have fun." He said, "I've been here all these years and you never done nothing for me." But the father, he was very understanding. He says, "Son, you don't know. All that I have was thine. All you had to do was ask for it. I didn't have to kill a kid or a goat or a calf for you. It was there for your taking. You were at home. You didn't leave because you didn't want to leave. I didn't force you. Your son, which was lost, is now found. Your son knows the tricks of Satan. He's been out there with Satan. He lived and follows Satan's laws and rules. But he's an overcomer. He's won this race. He's at home. and he knows the tricks and the rules of Satan. I put the ring of rulership on his finger, for he will be the ruler in this kingdom. I put the clothes and shoes on his feet, so freely he came, he can freely live again. This is my son, and he is Jesus. Understand it. He was the prodigal son. He came to us. He left heaven, put on earthly garments. He loved us so much so that he spreaded his arms and said, I give my life for you. All I ask is that you believe in me and accept me for who I was among you and for who I am, and heaven will be yours. Jesus, he was the prodigal son. Think about this here. He was the prodigal son. He left. He conquered Satan. And in return, returned and become king of this universe, king of the world, Jesus Christ. And that's why he's ruling today, because he overcame and got the victory. Death on the cross. He told the thief, he says, look, I give my life for you. And there was two thieves hanging on the cross, and one of them said, man, I said, look, if you are who you say you are, I said, then what you do, save me and come down off that cross and save yourself. And the other thief looked at him. Both of them were malefactors. Both of them were wrongdoers. And one looked at the other thief and said, I'll tell you this here. He's not like us. He's committed no wrong. He said, man, you shut up because you're foolish. But he turned to the Savior and said, Master, when thou comest into thy kingdom, rememberest thou me. And Christ, out of his love for humanity, he loved the world so much so that he came and gave his life for me, for you, for all of us. That's a love I don't think I can do. I hope when the time comes I might be able to do it. But I've been like the prodigal son. I've been nasty. I've been dirty. I've been unwashed. But Christ is doing a job on me. Think about this here. I get snappy. I get grunchy. I get everything that a human being can get. But when Christ's spirit touches you, you get control of yourself. When Christ's spirit touches you, you know how to love without looking for love in return. This is where Jesus is. All he asks you to do is recognize him and the price that he paid so that you can have fellowship with him in eternity. I think that's good news. I don't know how you feel about it, but I would just like to sit at the table. I would just like those are on other planets to come to me and say, how did you do it? We've seen the scenario, but what made you do this? What made you do that? And sit back and listen to you. We have a story to tell. Either we're going to go to heaven and tell the story, or we're going to go to hell, and the end will be over with. You got a choice. Nobody's forcing you. You can be as big as you are. You can be as grown as you want to be and die. Or you can follow Christ. You can go through your so-called physical sufferings and everything and become like the prodigal son. Everything that you want is yours. You can sit in the garden, peaches, oranges, apples, or fall off the trees for your asking. Anything you want can be yours. You think you're suffering now. Don't keep following Satan. If you keep following Satan, it'll happen to you what happened to me 3 days ago. Not only did my car run out of gas, but the muffler and the filter went bad, and it cost money to get fixed. And if I had no money, it wouldn't have got fixed. But you know, Jesus has a ram in the bush. He'll help you when you need help. He don't ask you to be perfect, but he asks you to recognize him for what he's done for you and for who he is. If you do that, you'll be rich. When you get poor and need money, somebody will come to you and say, man, looky here, you're having it hard. God has blessed me. Here's $100. Brother, you out here sleeping in the grass and it's cold and everything. Come on in the house, man. I got a couch you can lay on. Stay with us through the night and the morning. We got food to eat. And then go tell somebody that God is good. God will bless you if you bless him with your love. Clean yourself up. And you know, I keep telling people to clean themselves up, but you know that's a lie. You can't clean yourself up. Because if I could clean myself up, I'd have been cleaned a long time ago. Only Christ can do it. Only the Holy Spirit can work on you and make you feel guilty and put you in situations where you can't help but be right. You can't help but to be clean. He will wash you. That's our best friend. I don't pray to God. I pray and ask the Holy Spirit to answer my prayers. That's his job. He's my lawyer in a courtroom. He's my doctor in a medical room. He's my lover if I need love. He'll show me how to love. Holy Spirit is everything that I need, and he's all of that because Jesus left him here to teach us, to guide us, to show us what we must do to have fellowship with him in eternity. All you got to do is believe. Believe in your heart that no man is better than you and that you're equal to anyone, but that we have a Lord and a Savior that we can look to, a Lord and a Savior who holds the reins of this world. When he say, be it is, we have to learn that. We have to feel it. We have to go through something. And right now, in 400 years, we still haven't learned. But I believe that there are those among us that are human that have given their lives for Christ. Those among us who the Mary Knowles and different religious movements love Christ so well that they gave their life. Then there's those of us who fear death so much that we run the other way and say, Satan, I love you. I got to do what you say, dude, because it's pleasurable. I love my wife, but she's not as pretty as the girl next door. I want to associate with her. I want to relate to her physically, emotionally, sexually, and I love this car that I have, but I love the one next door better. I got to have that car. And I don't mind doing what it takes to get it. Oh, think about this here. I don't have the money that I need to pay these bills, but I know where it is. I can get two friends of mine, and they'll go with me and help me get it. Some of you may have known them as a man and a woman. Mr. Smith and Mrs. Weston. They don't mind helping you. But I'm here to tell you that when you go down the road that leads to death, that's what you get. You get what you ask for. But if you go down the road that leads to life, you'll receive life. You'll receive the blessings and the glory of God even when you don't even know it's coming your way. God is good. But you have to go through something to know something. You have to feel pain in order to know what love is when it shows up. That's all Christ wants us to do. He says, man, just love me. I've been through it all. I come here to receive your love. The Father loves me. I ain't worried about him, but I got to go home. I'm going back to the Father. But you can come too. Because my love for the Father is the same as the love that I have for you. Amen? Ain't God good? So don't throw your children away because they're so evil. Don't turn your back on them. Christ hasn't turned his back on you. The Holy Spirit is right now working with you, and with me. Think about this. As filthy as we are, we have a God that loves us. We have a home to go to. And we're gone. All he asks is that you recognize him and love him and stand up for him and tell a dying world there's no other way under the sun that man can be saved other than by the name of Jesus. May God bless you.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadows of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassion it fails not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. I know summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their course above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness. My God has mercy and he has love. For great is thy faithfulness, great is my God's faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy compassion, they fail not. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Oh my God, he pardons for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. His strength for today, and my bright strength for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Oh, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. I just want to say one more time, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I am needed, thy hands, thy precious hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. I said, Lord, unto me. Oh, yeah.
Thank you, sister, for that song. Your faithfulness. When you're faithful, God rewards you for your faith. Some of you sitting here now, I recognize you. I know who you are. You're ex-convicts, male and female. You've been through a lot. And you think what you've been through is really tough. But it would be a mist if I didn't tell you what I've been through. I did 22 years and 8 months before I seen the street in Stateville Prison. But God is good. I went in there a Muslim, not just a Muslim, but what they termed it, a black Muslim, meaning that I hated anything that was not black. If you was white, I wanted to kill you. Because I believe in my heart that's what I should do because of the hell that all my people have gone to here in America through slavery, Bull Connors, and all the others. I feel that God wanted me to do that. I loved black folks, so I thought, and hated white folks. You think you got a story to tell? All the time that I was in prison, I had a Christian brother to come to me. He's tote the Bible around with him and everything. He said, brother, Christ loves you. I said, yeah, man, sure did. If he loved me so, how come he let Bull Connor and all them kill my ancestors and do what they did? If I could catch him, I'd put him back up there on that cross. And I meant it. I was serious. I meant that. Brother Lee looked at me, and Brother Lee says, brother, I understand your feelings. He said, but you're going to change. You're going to think different. You're going to feel different. I became the leader of 832 black Muslims in Stateville Prison in Joliet, Illinois. But one thing that God put upon my heart to do, that no young man coming into prison, white, black, green, red, or yellow, should be raped, should be abused, or misused. And we had so much strength that if I say close the prison down, it closed down. If I say tear it up, it got torn up. Yeah, this little brother here. Because if you knew anything about Muslims, we didn't play. And I told the followers that were with me to get an education. And I set the example. I went to TV college in Stateville Prison. We had a proctor to come in after I got my AA. He came in and I took up political science. 2 years later, I was awarded a BA. Didn't have to give him a residency requirement because of the proctor coming in every day. God bless us. God bless us. They wrote a book on me, Stateville Times, first black inmate to earn a master's degree in prison. Didn't only get the AA to BA, but I got my master's in prison. It didn't do me any good because when I was released, that X was still over my head. But God has a way of changing things. He has a way of letting you know that as hard as you think it is, he'll smooth the road out for you. I got a son who I love. Tough love is what I use on him because that's the only way I know. I was raised tough. I had to be tough. But I knew one thing, God is real. That God loves me in spite of myself. God loves me. That's why I can stand before you and tell you there's no other way under the sun that man or woman can be saved other than by the name of Jesus. May God bless you.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.